Pro Group Management. Workers' comp that works for you.
Welcome to Nevada Newsmakers. This is Orrin Johnson filling in for Sam Shadd. Joining me today is former State Assembly Minority Leader Pat Hickey. Next on an all-new Nevada Newsmakers.
Big R and Sparks is located on Bering Boulevard next to Smith's and across from Reed High School. It's a 50,000 square foot hardware store and a whole lot more. It's your spring headquarters with lawn and garden supplies, power equipment, and outdoor living. Big R on Bering Boulevard and Sparks next to Smith's and across from Reed High School. Big R, hardware and a whole lot more.
Carson Valley Inn, it's your place for the good times. Carson Valley Inn.
Save money and take transit. Did you know you can ride the bus all day for less than what it would cost you for a gallon of gas? Plan your trip now by going to rtcwashoe.com.
As you know, Reno is booming. Tolls Development Company is helping it grow with insightful design and development, building community with every project, adding beauty, adding excitement, emphasizing our shared humanity. Reno is becoming bigger. Tolls Development is helping it become better, more livable, more enjoyable. To learn more, go to tollsdevelopment.com. tollsdevelopment.com.
Retail's impact on Nevada's economy? Enormous. 8,600 businesses, large and small, employing 145,000 workers. And last fiscal year, retail paid tax on nearly $60 billion in sales. We're the Retail Association of Nevada. We support retail. We help it grow. And we mean business.
RANNV.org.
This is Nevada Newsmakers with host Sam Shadd, a no-holds-barred political forum. Now, from the Nevada Newsmakers broadcast headquarters, here is Sam Shadd.
Welcome back to Nevada Newsmakers. This is Orrin Johnson sitting in for Sam Shadd. With me today is Pat Hickey, former minority leader in the State Assembly. Thank you so much for joining me, Pat.
Good to be with you, Orrin.
So we're recording this on the morning of June 7th, which is obviously the day after there was a nighttime special session towards the end of this legislative session to try to figure out some of these budget bills. There's probably more special sessions to come by the time this actually airs. But I want to talk about this this last-minute budget brinksmanship. Has this always been a feature of the legislature?
Yes, to some degree. You know, the problem with brinkmanship is you end up on the brink and sometimes fall over the edge. So you saw it last night. I mean, the A's were, the Democrats were very good at hardball. Now there's a special, excuse me, session as we speak, or as we're here today. We don't know the outcome of the A's budget bill and whether there'll be Moneyball played or not.
Well, and I want to talk about, why is it? Why do we wait until the last minute? Anybody who runs a business, anybody that does anything worthwhile understands you do the first things first. You do the important things first. That's how you get them done and get them done right. So why does the legislature wait till the last minute to do the budget?
Well, there's some advantage to those that control the levers of power. I mean, basically, Lombardo's agenda kind of ran out of steam at the end, and the Democrats, in my view, played it wisely. And he was not able to get some of the things that Republicans wished and hoped they would have gotten.
Explain that a little bit, because I'm really curious about is your insight, kind of having been there on the brink in the past and that sort of thing. Do you think the governor could have gotten more of his agenda passed had he played things a little bit differently?
Oh, I'm not so sure about that. If he would have been willing to go to the mat, as they say, and possibly Republicans stuck with him, might the Democrats been compelled to compromise on the charter school or some of the other issues that Heidi Gansert raised at the end of the regular session? In the end, things got done, and it's true, there's always the game within the game, and adept legislative leaders and governors know how to play that game at the end, and I guess we'll have to see.
Well, and what's interesting, so you talk about the charter school stuff, and from the very beginning throughout the campaign for governor, Governor Lombardo talked about school choice, charter school funding. That was one of his major priorities. And then apparently there was some handshake deal between the governor and Democratic leadership in the legislature that seemed to exclude some of the Republican leaders, which to me seemed a little bit odd. Was that taking the governor's leverage away, some of his foot soldiers away?
Well, that's a claim that the Democratic Senate Majority Leader has made. I don't know that the governor has spoken to that, so he would have his own take on the final outcome. But he did run on the issue of school choice, which seemingly has the support of 70% of Nevadans, but Democrats held the line. To be truthful, though, charters did get some benefits out of the session with the increase in per pupil funding, so it's not as if they were totally stiff-armed, but they certainly didn't receive the parity that some argued was the right and the fair thing to do at the end.
Right, and the issue in that bill, and the thing that the Republicans initially took a stand on and all voted no on that last budget bill, was I think it was about $35 million in funding so that charter schools, which are public schools, and the teachers that teach at those schools could have some parity in their salaries. And so essentially the hill for everybody to die on was to not give those teachers a raise. Is that fair to say?
Well, that's fair to say. And this is where the partisanship and the backers come into play. Teachers unions are adamantly opposed to public charter schools. For one thing, they don't typically unionize. They're tending not only to take students away, as been pointed out, they're about to become larger than the Washoe County School District in terms of statewide charter enrollment. But the truth be told, they're also taking a lot of teachers away who are migrating to charter schools. They may think this might stop that bleed a little bit with them not quite getting the pay raises that other of their colleagues will in district schools.
Right, this kind of zero-sum game, that's not actually the truth of it. Obviously, you got some competition. It can lift everybody up in some views, certainly mine, I think yours as well.
Yes, that's right.
So why was it then that Republicans didn't hold the line on that? The governor was supporting it. It was Scott Hammond, ultimately, that defected in the special session, who is always known as a proponent of charter schools, kind of one of the premier proponents of charter schools. Were you surprised to see him be the one that kind of went and went along with the deal?
Somewhat. He was the founder of a charter school network in Las Vegas, and obviously he's been very pro-school choice. I think he'll have to answer why he did that and why the governor seemingly said, we're going to have to fold up the tent and fight another day. And maybe this becomes, 2 years from now or 4 years from now, campaign issues that may continue to favor the public that does want more options in terms of the choice for their students' education.
No, that's fair. And we're going to talk a little bit more about some of those in the future as soon as we come back.
Pro Group Management offers workers' comp services to a growing number of industries. As businesses grow and change with the times, the need for a solid workers' comp program must be flexible and up to date. The evolving nature of regulations can make staying ahead of complex tasks challenging. But Pro Group Management simplifies the work so your industry can move forward and succeed. Pro Group Management. Workers' comp that works for you.
Early in the morning or throughout the night, professional truck drivers are on the job, serving you, safely moving freight that's crucial to our economy. From the oldest industries to our newest innovators, from the exotic to the everyday, trucks are everywhere, moving everything. Never afraid to embrace a future that makes Nevada and our nation stronger. Trucking moves America forward.
What do you count on? You count on your power every day. At NV Energy, we've always powered what's important to you. But we're not looking at the past. we're focused on the future. While our standards are high, our rates will remain low. And our commitment to renewables isn't just meeting standards, but leading the way. Because you can count on more than just your power. You can count on the company who brings it to you. That's our promise. You can count on it.
Remember 2010 in Northern Nevada, 13 to 14% unemployment, thousands of homes in foreclosure, Nevada's casinos closing? Families in the Reno-Sparks area were hurting. Many were losing everything. Then Story County launched a game changer for our region, a public-private industrial partnership, streamlined permitting, slashed bureaucracy, attracting Fortune 500 companies that made Nevada their home. Story County generated a river of cash to area communities. Economic studies by the state and others for the Gigafactory consistently show positive economic benefits for our region. $4 billion in local wages, $17 billion in consumer spending and economic activity, over $100 million in taxes to Washoe, Story, Reno, Sparks, and Nevada, just for the Gigafactory alone. Story County, improving Northern Nevada one industry at a time.
This is Nevada Newsmakers.
Welcome back to Nevada Newsmakers. This is Orrin Johnson filling in for Sam Shad. With me again is Pat Hickey, former minority leader in the State Assembly. So we're talking about the sort of deal making at the last minute and the brinksmanship that ultimately led to the final passage of a budget bill that didn't get the governor some of the funding for schools that he wanted. And it seems that, you know, there's sort of an acquiescence at the end. Nobody wanted to drag it on, except it was only one more day of a special session. Is there some value to kind of holding the line and waiting it out a little bit longer for everybody involved?
Well, I guess you could say if you don't want the stress, excuse me, then acquiesce. And maybe it was a battle that they just simply couldn't win. The Democrat leadership did not seem inclined to give them something with respect to charter schools or school choice in general. So we'll see if that was a wise decision. But again, they would argue, Democrats, well, gee, Republicans weren't willing to agree with the public who, like, for choice, think 70% thought that some of the Second Amendment bills that the governor vetoed were common sense in the general public. So it goes both ways. You know, when you have the pendulum swinging, it sometimes becomes a guillotine in the process.
Fair enough. Let me ask you this. One of the things that we hear talk about on this program, especially a lot of lobbyists are on and politicians, and there's value for those folks that come in and talk about compromise and bipartisanship, and everybody seems to like that. But there's also value, I think, and I'm curious what your opinion on this, is in an adversarial system where people are fighting it out, kind of above the board so everybody can see the arguments in full view. And in some ways, I think bipartisanship can almost serve to opaque the process a little bit. What are your views on that?
Well, I think that's important. I think that's what the public would prefer. The fact that almost one-third of Nevadans are now nonpartisans and are disenfranchising themselves from either the R or the D team is evidence of that. And to have had more debate about school choice or some of the other issues would have been wise to do. And, you know, whichever side wins, the public would win if they're more engaged in the process.
Right, because at this stage, these last-minute budget bills, all the open meeting laws go out the door, everything's done behind closed doors, kind of behind the bar. There's last-minute amendments that come in and totally gut bills and fill them back up, and it's hard to tell what exactly even is being voted on. I mean, as a legislator, can you even read those bills?
No, and legislators themselves really don't know what's going on. Now, leadership may have a sense of the last-minute negotiations at the brink of the end of a session. But it's a messy system, and I think that's why people are increasingly turning to options, as I heard a previous guest talk about in question three, where you may see Nevada voters say, gee, we want to have a different process whereby we can decide who candidates are in primaries, and maybe they'll be more willing to be in discussions and conversations with both sides.
Well, and beyond even an amount of candidates, is there something about the process itself? What can improve the process? What can improve it so that there isn't this last-minute, opaque, behind-the-scenes kind of icky stuff that people have lamented for centuries?
Well, you know, everything's about relationships, and politics underscores that. In days gone by, Bill Raggio and Joe Dini would have a certain sense of what both sides wanted and have kind of a tacit agreement that both sides were going to get something at the end. And so it didn't then come up to this, who's going to blink first, who's going to have more power to bludgeon the other one, and who is going to lose, you know, as is often asked, winners and losers.
But is there a downside to that? People kind of romanticize those days. On the other hand, when you have all the politicians kind of getting together in the bar afterwards, shaking hands on stuff, making their deals, you know, cutting up the pie kind of for themselves, and the bipartisanship is that we'll take our money from you, you can take, you know, from the taxpayers, you'll take your money from the taxpayers. How does the state ultimately win when that stuff is happening not in the light of day, in the building?
Well, I think the state doesn't. And again, the frustration by voters with the traditional way things from two sides, the left and the right, are duking it out. Most people are in the center. They may be left of center, they may be right of center. That's why I write a column called Memo from the Middle, because I think that's where most people are, and they're expecting there to be give and take, and they're not going to get everything that they want, but the process ought to be a lot more open than it is, and watching the end of these sessions is democracy at its worst.
Do you think that increasing the amount of time that they have in the session would improve it?
I suppose, and that would underscore some argument to make annual sessions in Nevada, but the voters have been reluctant to do that since it's
right.
Constitutional, so I don't know. They could start earlier on, and again, I think it would be helpful to have heard more of the governor's bills, even if they didn't ultimately get passed.
So ultimately, it would have been nice to see some of the salesmanship, even to the public, of those bills from the governor, from the legislators, from everybody, much earlier, even maybe before the session started. Is that fair to say?
Well, certainly they know what the issues are. Whether they can come to some sort of agreement, it's not an easy thing to do, but to me, you know, leadership's relationship is like a marriage. There has to be compromise, and you have to think about the good of your offsprings, in this case, the state itself. So I think it's far more important to be statesman or stateswoman-like than it is to be partisan, but that's not what we see much of these days.
That's fair enough. We'll talk a little bit more about that when we come back.
Imagine a magical garden that feeds Carson City's hungry and homeless, teaches our high school students agriculture, creates hanging floral displays to beautify downtown, and yet charges nothing. It's not magic. It's the Greenhouse Project. It's real, it's growing, and it needs your help. Go online to carsoncitygreenhouse.org so together we can grow it forward.
For 50 years, Nevada Heating has been keeping people comfortable in their homes. At Nevada Heating, call the Do It Right guys and get the air conditioning back on today. That's the Nevada Heating way. Why sweat for days on end when Nevada Heating can get your air conditioning fixed today? Call us today and we'll fix it today at 323-5585 or schedule us on our website at nevadaheating.com.
The Nevada Builders Alliance has been protecting the interests of the construction industry for over 50 years. Our programs save members thousands of dollars every year and allow them to provide much-needed benefits to their employees. Our industry also allows Nevada to grow. If you're thinking about a career in the construction industry, reach out. And if you haven't thought of a career in construction, what are you waiting for? We are the Nevada Builders Alliance.
With Nevada's only transplant center and verified burn center, the science is here. With award-winning cardiologist and the state's only dedicated heart failure clinic, the talent is here. With Nevada's most advanced robotic surgery, the technology is here. And with the Silver State's only designated pediatric trauma center, hope is here. All because we are here. UMC.
This is Nevada Newsmakers.
Welcome back to Nevada Newsmakers. This is Orrin Johnson sitting in for Sam Shadd. With me, if you're just joining us, is Pat Hickey, former minority leader of the State Assembly. So we're talking about deal making and everything else. And today, again, this is being recorded on the morning of June 7th as a special session is happening right now to discuss giving, what, $380 million to the to build a baseball stadium.
Right.
So the legislature is willing to go to the brink for $35 million for school teachers and not give it to them. But now we're going to go into special session. Is the legislature then going to turn around and give 10 times that to a baseball team?
Well, we are Nevada. We've always been a betting state. And I just wrote a column saying my guess is that we probably will pass it, but time will tell. But, you know, are we going to pay to play, so to speak? But the argument can be made that Nevada has benefited by being the entertainment capital, or at least claim to be, of the world, and baseball adds to that aura.
Well, that, it's certainly true, obviously, that our economy is based on a lot of this entertainment, tourism. There's no doubt about that. It brings money in, that's the revenue, that's what builds our schools, that sort of thing. On the other hand, we have a lot of social costs that come along with that that cost a lot of that money, and our schools are not the best in the union, to say the least. And so, but the knock on especially stadium deals, basically every economist has come out and said that this A's stadium deal is just absolutely the worst and is not going to benefit Nevadans. So what's the, why is anybody voting for this?
Republicans like economic development deals in general. Democrats like contracts to the culinary and the labor unions dangled in front of them. So you have an incentive and a benefit to both sides to see it pass. Could monies be spent elsewhere? Yes. The argument is we did spend an unprecedented amount on education this time, even though there's great dissatisfaction in the Clark County School District. It said that only one in four teachers support the current superintendent and the policies and the practices of the school district. So we've got more serious problems than filling the seats of a new stadium, for sure.
Well, and beyond that, everybody talks about it as an investment. But if an investment's going to be wise, it needs to actually have a return on that investment. Historically, I don't think there's, I'm aware of only one publicly funded stadium that actually returned on its investment. That was a Metrodome in Minneapolis, and now it's torn down, and now they spent a lot of money. No other publicly funded stadium has ever paid for itself, ever. The taxpayers have never recovered that money. So what's going to be different here, or will it?
Well, proponents will argue that the Raiders Allegiant Stadium is, in fact, doing that. I don't really know the numbers, but again, this is Vegas. We care about image. We care about bringing people there. And this has been the history of Nevada to bet on, grand plans for economic development. Sometimes it's paid off.
No, that's, so do you think it's going to pay off this time? What's your
opinion? I really don't know. I think it'll likely pass. Otherwise, I don't think the governor would have called a special session unless he thought he had the votes. But that could change. I mean, Democrat leadership was strongly against what the governor wanted in terms of the first special session. They could surprise people and go against it. But I would imagine it'll probably pass narrowly.
So, and let me ask you, somewhat related, obviously there's talk of a special session, maybe it's going to be soon, maybe it's going to be later down the road, about sort of the Hollywood film tax credits and that sort of thing. There was something similar that was passed several years ago, and I don't know that it really panned out. There was Paul Blart 2, I think, was the first movie.
A great film.
God bless it, but is anything going to be different this time? Do you know?
I don't know so much about that, Bill, but, You have some high profile individuals who now have a direct connection in Jeremy Renner and Mark Wahlberg, both who now have homes in Nevada and have a stake and are vested in the success of that.
And I'm fans of both those guys. Jeremy Renner lives up the street from me, but the bottom line is that who do we take money away from to give to them if it's not going to come back to the taxpayers?
Well, you know, one of the arguments is that Vegas investing in itself brought in unprecedented revenues. Now, it was post-COVID, but the cupboards are full funding-wise, in part because Las Vegas has been successful. So the argument, if we keep investing in those things, we may continue to see greater abundance of revenues that turns into money to be spent, not always wisely.
Well, and I certainly hope that the revenues come in, and I hope that wisdom prevails, but we're going to have to leave it at that. Pat, thanks so much for joining us today.
Thanks, Oren.
All right. We'll be right back.
Hi, I'm Renee Summerauer, digital news anchor here at 7 at 7. Watch our streaming nonstop newscast immediately with your mobile phone. 7 at 7 is the new way for you to get every bit of local news you need in just 7 minutes. Breaking news, local neighborhood news, weather, and sports are just a click away. Reporters bring you all of what's happening in the Valley. From Roku, Amazon Fire, Apple TV, YouTube, and more. Get every bit of local news you need from the RJ and LVRJ.com.
Everyone is talking about opioids, but they're not the only drugs that can be harmful if taken in large quantities or not as prescribed. You also need to be aware of side effects from anxiety drugs, muscle relaxants, sleep aids, and stimulants. Mixing prescription drugs with other drugs or alcohol can be dangerous. If you take an Ambien with a glass of wine, it may be enough to stop you from breathing. Prescribed drugs can be just as dangerous as illegal drugs. Take medications only as directed.
Each day, the Children's Advocacy Alliance partners with leaders, legislators, and families across Nevada to improve children's health, education, economic well-being, and safety. We recognize Nevada will be no better than the state of its children. Be a part of this change. Be a supporter of the Children's Advocacy Alliance. For more information, go to caanv.org.
Brian Culpa Photography was born in the rolling hills of Massachusetts, and now he can help you experience the stunning beauty of Nevada in a whole new way through the power of flight. Flying has always been a passion for Brian, and at Brian Culpa Photography, he can make your imagination soar. Brian has the creative mind and tools to tell your unique story. Experience the bird's eye view at brianculpaphotography.com.
Snorkel personnel lifts are engineered beyond the industry norm to an uncommon level of safety and durability, and with an eye towards sustainability. They're also designed to be simple to operate and maintain. Snorkel, always at the cutting edge of progress.
And that's all the time we have for today. Thank you for joining us. You can join Nevada Newsmakers 24/7 at NevadaNewsmakers.com.